recorded, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid, right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It is Motown Mondays. And so every Monday, for the entire 2 hours, you can listen to the greatest Motown hits in the history of Motown. And I can tell you there are more than enough Motown hits to last, if I had to play them for 3 hours for the next 365 days, we'd never exhaust all the hits of Motown. So listen to, you know, again, some of the greatest Motown hits in the history of Motown, and we'll be playing those every Monday on Motown Monday. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How was your weekend?
My weekend was, let's see, does Friday include the weekend?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, well, we know what that was like.
Yes, it was snowy. I almost forgot.
Saturday wasn't so bad. Went to a community gathering, a political meeting. And Sunday, I actually did something I hadn't done in a long time, and I just decided to cook. And so I spent, you know, most of Sunday in the kitchen cooking. And cooking is, you know, man, it's serene, and it gets you away from things. And I never looked at it from that perspective, but I found, you know, trying some different things, and I spent a little time doing that. Did you watch the NCAA?
I watched some of the Marquette game.
Oh, some of the Marquette game.
Hey, they won. They're going to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I watched some of the Marquette game as well. I didn't realize that they came on at 11 o'clock. I was in the kitchen, you know, doing that kind of work. And then I realized, hey, Marquette is on. And by the time I turned over to it, it was, you know, nail-biting time.
Yeah, and they were taking care of them in the first half, but they made it a game in the second half.
Yeah, and you know, I'll tell you what, man, I didn't watch any more of the men's NCAA games. I haven't watched basically any of them other than Marquette. Let me tell you what I have been fixated on, man. You ever watched the women's NCAA?
I haven't watched the whole game, but I've been keeping up on it.
Man, I think it's more exciting. It's more entertaining. Women's basketball has come, man, such a long way. The talent level of those women is amazing to me. Their skill levels are just, man, they're really in competition with the men's skill levels.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could probably name more college women basketball players right now than I could men's basketball.
Yeah, I mean, they really are very, very talented women. They can do all of those things, man, that the men can do. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes I think they play with even more emotion than the men. But, man, I've watched women's basketball from Dave Myers, Ann Myers, and Reggie Miller's, Cheryl Miller, and so we've watched the development of women's basketball from those archaic first times to where it is now, man. It's an unbelievable change. 16,000 people to see women's basketball is college basketball, man. That's an unbelievable thing, man.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I'm hoping that this group of college players can carry that to the WNBA and kind of reinvigorate it and hopefully bring some much-needed attention to the pro side of the
game. Man, there's no question they can. I was watching South Carolina, and they were playing against, I believe it was North Carolina. And South Carolina's entire starting five last year man went to the, got drafted by the WNBA. And then all the players that they have right now, the team, they're 33-0.
Yeah, South Carolina's gone like two or three seasons in a row without losing a game.
Man, that's, so I didn't know that, and I'm watching this, and I'm riveted to watching this. And man, if you haven't watched women's college basketball, you're missing a treat, man. You really are.
Oh yeah, they've got special players: Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. There's so many.
Oh man, there's so many of them. Let's go to the phone lines and Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. Man, what are you doing watching women's basketball?
I'll tell you why. We've got a history of basketball in our family. My dad played college basketball for Valparaiso. My daughter went to the national championships in eighth grade. She set a record as a three-point shooter in seventh grade.
Wow.
And now my granddaughter is better than she is. And I'll tell you what, Earl, you nailed it. Women's basketball, Larry Heisel and I talk about this all the time, that women's basketball is at a level that is so refreshing to watch. Case in point, the state championship. These girls that go to the line, they never missed.
No.
If they did, I didn't remember it. They shoot like 100% from the free throw line. Their outside shooting is unbelievable, and their quickness or their fast break basketball, I think you nailed it.
You know, Bill,
there is something to watch.
Their ball handling, their understanding of the game. Man, and you remember, I'm talking about back in the days when women's basketball was archaic, but it's no longer that. It is on an ascension. It is exciting. I mean, I sat there and I watched the whole game, women's game, and I got as much excitement out of watching that game as I did watching the Buck game later on in the evening. That's how exciting it is. And again, as Calvin said, South Carolina had 17,000 people there to watch the girls' basketball game, man.
A girl that plays on the high school team, she shoots over 40 points. She shot as many as 40 points a game. Can you imagine it in high school?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Well, so, I mean, yeah. I mean, girls' basketball is great. It not only is great for women, women's athletics is important for the development of young girls. And I'll tell you, you know, many go on as they leave, you know, their high schools and college careers, and sports, youth sports is critically important to the development of young people. I know, man, I ran a program for 20 years. I know the importance of, you know, youth being involved in sports and girls especially. Thank you very much for the call, Bill. I appreciate it. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man?
Great, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget that, and we must get money out of politics. As far as girls' basketball or women's basketball goes, I have always been a huge, huge fan since my high school days, because in Durand, Wisconsin, we had probably the top basketball players in the country that played on that team, and we went to state pretty much every year for about 6 or 8 different years all the way through that. As I told you before, my dad was a head football coach, but his assistant was the girls basketball coach. And, you know, so we followed it that way. Both my sisters played. But what I wanted to say was I watched a game last night, which was an absolute barn burner. What I love about women's basketball is the fundamentals are so important, and they have the fundamentals.
Man, they really do.
Down, and they really know, you know, the actual pick and roll. They actually know the, you know, the things that sometimes we take for granted with men's basketball, with just, you know, slam dunk. It's more fundamentally driven, I think. But what I wanted to say was the game I watched last night was between Iowa State and Stanford, and it went into overtime. And watch out for this girl. She's a freshman. Her name is Croc. And she is one of the biggest girls I've ever seen. both laterally and also, you know, wide-wise. And I'll tell you what, she scored like 40 points when they beat Maryland. They came back and beat Maryland after they were down by 20 points. There's really, yeah, it's just fun to watch. It's always been fun to watch for me because I feel like it's not just run and gun. It's actually fundamentals, throwing, you know, passing the ball around, looking for the open shot. It's very, very enjoyable. So I'm glad that, it's funny that you opened up the show with that this morning because I watched that game last night. I haven't watched a lot of women's basketball for many, many years, but I watched that on ESPN last night. And they said that that was probably the best game that actually had been played in the whole tournament to get to the Sweet 16. Watch out for Iowa State.
Hey Tom, thank you very much for the call. Man, listen, if you haven't watched any women's basketball, I would suggest that, you know, right now as, you know, they're in the Sweet 16, by all means, the talent level, as Tom talked about, their ability, their technique, they certainly have mastered the ability to dribble the ball and their athletic ability, Calvin. They're pretty fast, some of those women, right? Dribbling the ball, you know.
Oh yeah, they're extremely skilled and definitely more athletic than people probably give them credit for.
No question. Anyway, this morning show, in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Tim Slecker, Busted Pencils Fully Loaded. You know, Tim and I go back many years, and it'll be really fun to have Tim and myself on the air together. Tim Slecker, Busted Pencils, that airs 6 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday on Civic Media. We're going to talk about, you know, public education and education in general. Looking forward to that at 9 o'clock. When we come back, most opposed Social Security and Medicare cuts. I'm going to talk about that again. And I'm going to talk about it again and again and again and again because it's on the chopping block and Republicans have it on the chopping block. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. On a Motown Monday. I'll tell you what's going on. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. The number, yeah, it's Motown Mondays, and what would Motown Mondays be without Stevie Wonder? You know, last week I talked a little bit about Social Security and the fact that it was on the chopping block by Republicans. And, you know, I just think it's critically important that we keep that in the front. On the front burner as this election rolls around, because those of you who, you know, want to support the Republicans, you need to be aware of what they have in their minds. You know, it is not, you know, a coincidence that this assault on Social Security and Medicare is going to have a profound impact on the very people who could barely afford you know, to lose it. Here's a 90-year-old Marilyn Robinson disagrees with nearly everything the Democratic leader Joe Biden says. But she thinks his plan to increase taxes on the wealthy Americans to pay for health care programs future makes sense. Now, she disagrees, 91 years old or 90 years old, she disagrees with everything Democrats stand for. But she doesn't agree with Republicans looking to cut Medicare. She doesn't know anyone in her rural farming town of White Creek, New York, who makes as much money as the $400,000 a year plan proposal that Joe Biden plans to increase taxes on to, you know, help alleviate the problems with Social Security and Medicare. She doesn't know anyone in White Creek, New York, who makes that much money. Robinson, who has been on Medicare for the past 25 years, receives $1,386 in Social Security and pension checks every month. So here's a woman, 90 years old. She's living off of $1,386 in combined Social Security and pension checks every month. I can survive on that much money, she says, but if you're talking about $400,000, you're just in another category. There's nobody around here making that kind of money. That's about the only change to the entitlement programs that most Americans say they would support. Now, few Americans would be okay with the ways some politicians have suggested shoring up the programs. 79% say they oppose reducing the size of Social Security benefits, and 67% are against raising monthly premiums for Medicare. About 65 million older and disabled people across government-sponsored health insurance through Medicare and rely on monthly payments for Social Security. Now, I ask you, if you are voting Republican, and you have a right to vote whichever way you want to, you know, vote, you need to ask the people in the Republican Party who you are supporting what their plans are for Social Security and Medicare. That's a simple request. You know, you can believe and accept all the other things that they're talking about. That's your right, you know, as a citizen in this country. But if you're receiving Social Security and Medicare, I think you would put that should probably be at the top of the list on what you should be concerned about. Because maybe you're not hearing it. You know, maybe people aren't talking about it enough. But I think if people talked about it more, what you will find is many of those people who are voting red and who have a problem with Joe Biden, who plans on and has a plan to address the shortage in Social Security and Medicare by taxing those who make $400 million and more a year. $400,000 and more a year, that will work towards fixing the issues with Social Security and Medicare. Why would you disavow that? In essence, why would you cut your own throat? 844-967-2789 is the number. I will never understand that. And I do unfortunately believe that there are people within the sound of my voice who are going to do just that. And I don't know what point they will think that they're making. But as this poor woman in New York has stated, she's living off of $1,388 a month. And she understands that they're looking to cut Social Security and Medicare. She doesn't agree with any of the other things that Democrats stand for. But, man, she's still bright enough to understand that, hey, whatever the Republicans are saying, you know, keep your hands off my Social Security and Medicare. You know, I'm a fortunate person that I'm receiving my Social Security and Medicare, and I have been now for, you know, a number of years. I made it. I was lucky enough to live long enough to collect my Social Security and Medicare now for almost 8 years. And I'll tell you something, Calvin, it's a good thing to know that money is there. You know, I no longer have to worry about if it's going to be there, it's there. And the fact that as I get older and my body breaks down and I need to go see a doctor, the fact that I can go and see a doctor and not have to worry about that. Calvin, you know, you're a young guy, man, but, you know, you might have to worry about that.
Well, yeah, and it really doesn't seem fair when you consider that I've had a job since I was 16 and I've been paying into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the it in a nutshell. And, you know, I'm going to keep on hammering away at it. You know, 844-967-2789. At least once every week, I'm going to be talking about Social Security and Medicare, so get used to it. It's Motown Mondays on the Earl Ingram Show. When I come back, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about several things, but one of them is going to be, you know, they were able to pass, you know, the budget, $1.2 trillion. What's in it? What made the cuts? What didn't make the cuts on the Earl Ingram Show? Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And yes, Democrats and Republicans agree to a stopgap $1.2 trillion bill budget that will take us all the way through September. And, you know, there's some things in the bill that you and I won't know. I mean, how can we possibly know all these, I don't know how many pages, 1,012 pages are in this bill. And if you uncover many of what's in them, you would be outraged, as I was when I read this one. It didn't surprise me, this one particular freeze. And that's in the $1.2 trillion bill. It threatens the lifeline for starving Gazans. The UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Workers Agency for Palestinian Refugees, funds have been cut completely out of this budget. And we clearly know who was behind that, Republicans. And I don't know how you, the impending passage of a $1.2 trillion U.S. government spending package brings to the fore a contentious decision to halt funding for the United Nations Relief and Workers Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East. This move, buried within 1,012 pages of legislative text, could significantly impact Gazans living under Israeli siege, who are already facing dire hunger crisis. As the largest historical donor, the U.S. cessation of funds to the UNRWA, set to last through March of 2025, raises alarms among various stakeholders. This decision follows accusations against the UNRWA staff, which remained unsubstantiated. So they've cut the funds that will help the United States, that will help the Palestinians who are facing famine. And yeah, you can do that under the guise, under the cloak of darkness, as this has happened. And with all the other things that could have been cut and should have been cut, the one thing you would think that our nation wouldn't do would be to cut humanitarian aid to people. You know, that's what we lay our claim to that. You know, we help people all over the world. That's who we are. That's who we were. And so we spend money. You know, the United Nations, and the United States being the main, you know, funder of that, and helping nations who can't help themselves, and lobbying to make sure that you know, nations get grain when they starve and can't produce those things themselves. We've laid claim to that. Well, in this instance, you know, Republicans have made a decision to cut those resources off to innocent people. Whatever side of the coin you come down on with this particular issue, I don't understand how one can be innocent people who are starving, who had nothing to do with what happened. Million people facing starvation, and how you can vote to say no to them, and then you talk about who we are as a nation. And I'm going to talk about some things that made the cut. This is one that didn't. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone lines and Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I really like your radio because you get to the core of everything. And if you look at everything that the Republicans have done, it is not for the good of the people, but it is to make a statement. They did not fund, they don't want to fund the border to take care of these people coming into our country. They don't want to give money to the poor people of Palestine who are desperately in need of food, and they don't want to give money to the Ukrainians who are desperately fighting for their lives. And I look at this and I think this is so terrible. But politics has become more important to them than people's lives. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. This country is based on the idea that we will help people. We will give a helping hand. We brought in people into this country from other countries who were fleeing religious persecution. We accepted people from all over, and yet here we are making this political statement. For what reason? I have no idea, except for the Republican Party to turn their finger and say, look what Biden did. Well, Biden didn't do that. You did it. And people have to wake up and look at it and listen and say, put the Republicans are only doing this to benefit themselves and to have a scare tactic or dog whistles that they can blow and point the finger at Biden. Biden has no control over
it. You know, Susan, the fact that when I talk about this subject, I don't get phone calls is a testament to the fact that there are Americans who agree with the decision that was made, and not just Republicans. But when you don't see and don't know the people, they're human. And, you know, as we approach, you know, Easter this coming Sunday and Good Friday and all those things, I don't know how you celebrate those things, and then you see this total injustice. Certainly, something that Christ would certainly be opposed to. The starving of innocent people, and so when we have this dialogue and conversation, it's easy for people who aren't directly involved and engaged in this to dismiss it. It doesn't affect me. You know, it's not my family. And so, you know, people have to fend for themselves and nations have to fend for themselves. But when you pick and choose who should be able to live and who should be able to die, then, you know, that's some of the power that we as the most powerful nation on earth have. You have to be called on that. You have to be challenged on that. Because your conscience should matter. Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. Let me tell you why they cut that. Why they cut those resources, which are minuscule. The defense budget, $824 billion, made the cut with a 3% increase. You know, of the $1.2 trillion budget. Think about it. $824 billion of the $1.2 trillion goes towards defense. Nobody says a mumbling word. You know, I don't know what that percentage is. 80 billion of 1.2 billion, but it's staggering. And we know as Americans that something's wrong with that. You know, more money spent to kill people than it is spent to save people. Hey, come on, that's the bottom line. And what do? You know, we are deaf when it comes to that. You know, because we are Americans and apparently we deserve to live more so than others do. And so it's not for us to make. We don't have that right. Even though we exercise it because of who we are. But then we're not a mumbling word. So, Homeland Security, $490 million. For 22,000 more Border Patrol agents. That will fund. Get them down at the border and stop people from coming into this country who don't belong. But people who are starving to death? Not a mumbling word. Oh, America. Oh, America. What is happening to you? And as Tom always says, we the people are the government. We the people remain silent in the face of that. But let's get all those people down at the border. And let's stop people. But what do I expect from our nation when people inside the nation starve and we don't take care of that either? If what I'm saying is incorrect, 844-967-2789 is the number. And correct me. But you can't correct me because I know I'm telling the truth. And if I'm telling the truth, then support that truth. We don't have to be afraid. We're in America. We really don't. And you don't have to be afraid. I'm the one doing the talking. Nobody's going to come after you. But $824 billion of $1.2 trillion goes towards military. $176 billion for personnel. $287 billion for operation and maintenance. $287 billion for operation and maintenance. What does that include? That includes military bases all over the world. Something that is absolutely unnecessary. I talk about it all the time. More military installation bases all over the world than all the rest of the nations combined. And we as Americans don't utter a mumbling sound. We're complicit. But people who are starving to death, we won't lift our voices. Easter, we'll be celebrating the birth of Christ, the death of Christ. You know, we won't, and we'll take communion, you know, and we'll do all those things. But when it comes to standing up and challenging our nation when she's wrong, that's what a real patriot is. Not waving your flag, you know, not you know, marching in the parade. None of those things. Challenging our nation when it's wrong. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. So I'm talking about the things that that made the cut in the $1.2 trillion funding bill. And so there is election security, $55 million for election security that Democrats have wanted. And it's amazing that we have to, you know, worry about spending $55 million for election security when there's never been a problem with the election part of this. Republicans have constantly bastardized our election system that even the United States Supreme Court has said is safe, excuse me, and the safest in the world. And yet, because Republicans continue to say the things that they say, we've got to satisfy them. So we have to spend an additional $55 million for election security. To me, that's ridiculous. They can't prove that there was anything that was wrong in the 2020 election. Went all the way to the Supreme Court and was rejected time and time again. Lower courts rejected time and time again. But we have to spend $55 million to satisfy some people who clearly are whining and sniveling and crying because their guy lost. Thank God congressional pay was frozen, even though Republicans fought to try to get a pay raise. Well, you know, they're not all, you know, loco, because some had enough sense to say, hey Calvin, in an election year, I don't think we should be. Congress has a 19% approval rating. Probably not a good idea to ask for a pay raise, right?
Well, they seem to not care about how popular their things are. They're going to go after Social Security, like we talked about in the second segment.
I mean, it just so they're gonna increase TSA by $10 billion, and so you know clearly anything that you can do to expedite, if you've ever been in an airport, and make sure that those things are safe, I'm not opposed to. Child care and education received a grand total of $1 billion increase. Let's see, $1 billion for child care and education. Wait a minute. $1 billion child care and education. Okay. Which is, you know, pretty good considering, you know, it's something that has been underfunded for a long time, and there was a fight and a battle to make that happen. As I stated many times, you know, education and child care is not just for Democratic families. It is for people who call themselves Republicans. Children and families don't give a rip about whether you're Democrat or Republican. And families want to know we're going to get a positive opportunity to educate our children, as we will be discussing in the next hour with Tim Slecker and Buster Pencils. Or is it going to be possible for me to be able to, you know, find an affordable daycare for my children as I go and try to make a living in this nation? So the fact that they're going to put a couple extra dollars there is a good thing. They're going to cut the IRS funding freeze. Now, you know, they're going to cut the IRS funding. Now, the IRS, you know, was to receive a $654 million cut to its operation budget. It did receive a $654 million cut in its operation budget in the last budget because Republicans believed these law and order Republicans, or if we're law and order, we're for the police and all those things. But they cut the FBI budget by $654 million because they said they went after Donald Trump. Well, so the FBI is going to receive a $200 million increase, but they're still $454 million behind. Am I a person who, you know, is whining because the FBI is going to have part of their budget, had their budget cut $654 million. You know, I've said many times, the FBI has its place, and I'm not a guy who's sold totally on the FBI because I know the history of the FBI, especially in the 60s and what it did to Dr. Martin Luther King and what it did during the civil rights struggle and what it's done in many other instances, and J. Edgar Hoover, and I know the history of the FBI. But, you know, today, you know, they just, Calvin, 140-some-odd people got killed or murdered in Russia. You know, 11 guys came in. The FBI warned Russia that this was coming. Is the FBI something that's needed? Absolutely, it's something that's needed. Is the CIA something worth? Absolutely, it's important and critically important to the safety of the American people. But when you cut it because they did something or said something to Donald Trump, it's another one of those things that make me want to scratch my head. Now, I didn't get any call. I got one call. As I talked about, you know, Social Security, and only one call, as I talked about the budget, doesn't stop me. I'll be right back talking about it again, because what's more important than those things, right? You may not want to hear it on Monday. Well, it's Monday, that's too much politics for me. Well, I'm sorry. That's kind of what we're going to do. Up next, Tim Slecker and Busted Pencils on the Earl Ingram Show. Don't forget, it's Mondays. That means Motown Mondays, 844-967-2789. Up next, news, sports, and weather.